Amen. The little boy was in that storm about to be washed away in the flood, and news reporters had found him and let down on the helicopter, let down a big a ladder to him, and he climbed up in the helicopter and was saved and rescued. And the reporters come to him and said, "Son, how long was you on that rock?" He said, "Pretty much all night." They said, "Well, look like you'd been scared. Look like you'd shaken all over." He said, "Yes, sir." Says, I shook most of the night, but the rock didn't shake once." Amen. Thank God. I'm glad he's strong. He's secure. He does not shake. Amen. The troubles of this world is not causing God to quake in His throne in heaven. He's not wringing His hands and scratching His head, taking Malofs and Rolades and wondering what He's going to do next. Thank God. He's secure and He's strong, and we can depend on Him. Amen. Psalm chapter number 18, verse number 1, the Word of God says, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom will I trust? My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. The psalmist that authors this psalm is David, and he tells us so in the title. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, "I will love the Lord." Here it is, the psalmist David has been in a battle. And of course, you remember that Saul was chasing after him, trying to kill him. He cast a spear at him and tried to kill him. And he rebuked him and tried to kill him. He did everything he could to take the life of David. But here it is, David has been saved of the Lord from the hand of Saul, his enemy. And he sits down and begins to write as best he can express on paper his expression of love for God, for this tremendous deliverance that God has sent his way. He declares his love for God in verse 1. He said, "I will love thee, O Lord." He declares his love for him. In verse number 2, he expresses his admiration for the attributes of God. He says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom will I trust? He's my buckler. He's the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower." David sitting down just talking about the attributes of God. How that he admires them, and how that he honors them, and how he's amazed at the Lord's power and strength and things. And Lord, then down in verse number 3, he determines the trustworthiness of the Lord in verse 3. And then he declares him worthy to be praised. He said, "I'll call upon the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." He said, "I trust in God when I call on him to answer me. I trust in him when I need him to help me. I trust in him when I'm down to lift me up. And therefore I'm going to praise him, because he's surely worthy to be praised." Amen. But I'm interested in the phrase in the beginning of verse number 2, where he says, "The Lord is my rock." The Lord is my rock. Now, throughout the Bible, the Lord is referred to as a rock or a stone. Again and again, we see it in the book of Psalms. As 2 Samuel said, in 2 Samuel 22 and 2 and 3, said, David speaking, he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He's my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, and my Savior." As 2 Samuel 22 and 47, he said, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation." Psalm chapter 18, where we read here, but down in verse number 46, said, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." Psalm 28 and 1, he said, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock." Psalm 31 3, he said, "Thou art my rock and my fortress." As Psalm 62 and 2, he said, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." But interestingly enough, same chapter, the 6th verse, he says the same words. Amen. "The Lord is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not greatly be moved." He believed it enough to say it twice in the same chapter. And
chapter 71 and 3 of Psalms said, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given me commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress." Psalm 92 and 15 said, "The Lord is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Amen. Thank God. So the Lord is clearly shown in the Word of God to be a rock or a stone. Amen. "I'll say unto the redeemed, he is our rock." I like the way David worded this. He said, "The Lord's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my helper. He's my friend in time of trouble." I tell you, thank God that he's mine. And may I know who he is. And that he's mad about him. The Lord is my rock. He's not just a rock. Thank God he's the rock. And he's my rock. Amen. And I'm resting in him. And trusting in him. And believing in him. The Lord is my rock. Amen. David said, "The Lord is my rock." I want to say here, friend, he's a rock of offense. He's a rock of offense. Romans 3, chapter 9, verse 32 said, in verse 33, "Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8 said that he was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even if they would stumble at the word, being disobedience, whereunto they were also appointed. And now for those of us that are saved, it's hard to see Jesus as being the rock he is, as being offensive to people. It's hard for us to see him as being a rock of offense, but he's a rock of offense, a stone of stumbling unto the world. Amen. I want to tell you why he's offensive to them. He's offensive to them because he reveals their condition. He's chosen to say they're in. He reveals their condition and their sinful. Amen. I'll tell you, the rock shows us how soft we are, how unsure we are, how full of sins we are. He's so perfect when we get near to him. He shows us our flaws. He's so perfect when we get near to him. He shows us our shortcomings. And the world that loves him. And the world's offended at him. Thank God. Well, I'm glad I'm his. And I'm not offended by my Savior. Blessed is he, he said. In Matthew 11, 5, it was, I believe. He said, "Blessed is he. Whosoever shall not be offended in me." I'm not offended in him. Thank God I'm saved through him. He revealed my condition to me one day. Thank God if he'll never told me what I was, he could have never saved me. Thank God he reveals the world's condition. He's the rock of offense for the drunk because he reveals their condition and it is sinful. He's the rock of offense because he reveals the world's condemnation and it is death and hell. Amen. I tell you one reason why the world's offended by him. It's because they realize until they get him, unless they trust him, he'll die to the hell without hope. Amen. That's right. The wage of sin is death. I'll tell you, friend, how life does succeed. It bringing forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringing forth death. Amen. Hey, who's the going to heaven to die? Him that's written in the Lamb's book of life. For all those he found not written in the Lamb's book of life, he cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. You know why our rock, the one we love so much, is offensive to people, how he reveals to them that they're under condemnation to die. They're on their way to hell unless he of sin. I see a friend, he's a rock. I will say so many in this world. He's a rock of offense because he reveals their condition. He reveals their condemnation. I'll say, he's a rock of offense because he reveals their captivity. You see, when he first shows them what kind of state they're in, it's sinful. He shows them their condemnation, how they're going to die and go to hell. Then he shows them their captivity. They couldn't get out of it if they wanted to. They couldn't escape if they tried. They're bound by cannot sin and cannot set themselves free. Oh, somebody said, preacher, I ain't never seen all that. Then you ain't never been saved. Well, I tell you, when the Holy Ghost conviction comes on your life, He shows you what kind of shape you're in, what your destiny will be if you don't get right. And then He shows you you can't help yourself. There's nothing you can do to get yourself out of sin. No amount of conversion, no church membership, no lodge association, no water baptism can get you in. You're doomed and damned without help and hope, on your way to hell without God. And there's nothing in the world you can do to change that. I will tell you, we are in a mess we can't get ourselves out of. And it'll take Jesus to get us out of it, friend. And He's a victim to folks. All He shows them their helpless condition.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, conviction never did bother me. You're either lying or you ain't never been born again. Well, I'm telling you, when David got saved, he said, the pangs of hell caught hold on my soul. Amen. That's right. You that's been saved, do you remember the day and the time the Holy Ghost began to deal in your heart? It wasn't in comfort, and it wasn't offending, helping you feel better. But down in your soul, He made you miserable. And on the inside, you're scared to go to sleep at night. You're scared of the preacher, scared of the church. You're scared of dying. Scared of the sapiens in. Wanted to do better. Tried to do better. And found that you couldn't do no better. Tried to get right. Tried to turn over new leaves. Tried to straighten out. And you was in such a mess you couldn't. Amen, thank God. I'll tell you, sins are kept in. That binds us. Holds us. I will not let us free. It'll be Jesus. He's offensive to people because He shows them helpless. He shows them without an ability to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Amen. That's right. He reveals unto them their condition. Reveals their kept condemnation. Reveals their captivity. But I tell you, unto us which are saved, the rock reveals Christ as precious, as holy, as a deliverer. Thank God. When nobody else can help, when nobody else can do us any good, when nobody else can do anything for us, I'm glad He can. Hallelujah. He's our only hope. And I'm glad what you believe. He is precious.
He's
a rock of offense to some, but blessed is he whosoever is not offended by me. Ain't that what Jesus said? You know why he's offensive to them? According to Romans, because they sought it by works and not by faith. You know why he's offensive to this world? They're trying to get to heaven of their own volition. And they haven't learned just to give up and let Jesus take control. Amen. Thank God. He reveals Christ as our only hope. And to us that believe, He is precious. 1 Peter 2:7 says, and to you therefore which believe, He is precious. But to them which be obedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same that's made the head of the corner, He is to me more precious than gold. His love doth ever unfold. Thank God. Though we may hold earthly treasures untold, He is to me more precious than gold. Amen. That's right. Jesus said, I'll make man more precious than gold. Jesus surely is. Every day I love Him, I live, I love Him more. Amen. Every day I know Him, I love Him more. The better I know Him, the more that I love Him. Amen. As a kid, I sang a song on the sister and dad. I should go to the sing. I just keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah, thank God. And do I still believe He is precious?
Amen.
Well, thank God. He's a rock of offense. The Lord is my rock. down to stay here today. He's a rock of correction. He's a rock of offense. Amen. When you're lost and undone, he'll be offensive to you. But I'll tell you, he's a rock of correction. Amen. To that converted saint, he's a rock of correction. Not a rod of correction. I ain't talking about right now his disciplinary power. I'm talking about his deliverance power. Amen. He's a rock of correction. You see, when I was lost and undone, I'm going down the wrong path, Brother Matthew, I'm so glad he corrected my path in salvation. Amen. And he put me upon a rock. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 1 said, I waited patiently on the Lord, he inclined unto me, heard my cry. Brought me up also out of harmony, out of my clay. Set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Put a new song in my mouth, even praising our God. Many shall sit in fear and trust in the Lord. Amen. Our God is a corrective rock. That's right. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19 said that we're laying up in store for ourselves a good foundation against the time to come, that we may lay hold on eternal life. I'm glad I'm on the correct path. Amen. I was my sin in the mire, but he brought me out of the mire and put me in the cloth. Amen. Hallelujah. I was on my way to hell, but today I'm saved by the grace of God. I'll tell you, I was on the wrong path, but today I'm walking the road. I saw it's a Calvary and the undone glory. Amen. Why am I to be saved? He's a rock of correction. Well, my path when I was lost, Brother John, my path was dangerous. Amen. David said, I was in a pit. I was in a deadly pit. I was down there where they put the muck in the mire and the sewage of the city. I was down there drowning in the filth of the flesh that take all the sewage and the garbage outside the city and dig a big old pit and throw it down in that pit, and then cover up the pit with stones to keep the smell coming out and the good coming out and offending all the people of the city. Hallelujah. Think about that. I'll get to that in a minute. Amen. But David said, I was in that pit of the filth of my flesh. I couldn't get out if I wanted to. I was in a dangerous situation. I was about to die in the Father of our church. Amen. That's right. I'll tell you, friends, sin's dangerous. Sin is deadly. And if you've never been saved and on the wrong path, I'm telling you, you ain't in a dangerous situation. He said, my path was dangerous. He said, my path was filled with regrets. He said, I cried unto the Lord. Oh, God. When you get to a place where you regret the way you're living, you regret the sins you're committing. Oh, God. There's a lot of days in sin. Many times I've wept bitter tears. I'm ashamed my heart was in. And the things I've done that was displeasing to God. I've never wept bitter tears because of living for Jesus. I've wept sometimes tears of pain. I've wept sometimes tears of sorrow. But I've never wept bitter tears of regret because of living for Jesus. Amen. But in sin I wept bitter tears. I'm regretting it because of sin. That wicked path was dangerous and filled with regrets. I'll say, he said his path was uncertain. He said, I was in the miry clay. He said, I thought every day I'd lived, the next step I took would be better. But the further I went, the deeper I got in the mire. Oh, I thought tomorrow things will improve. But the longer I live, the worse they got. He said, I thought tomorrow, oh, the footing will be sure. One more step, and I'll be able to work my way out of the mess I'm in. And he said, every step I took, the mud, the quicksand of life, and of sin caught all in my soul and made it worse. He said, I thought maybe riches would show up my foot, and it wouldn't work. And maybe if I could find a good woman, it'd show up. But it wouldn't work. Maybe if I go to church and show up my friend. But the longer I live,
out in the muck and the mud and the mire as with our help and with our hope.
My path was uncertain. I tell you, in sin, you never know what the next step will bring. You may think, well, I've got away with it. What I've done, the Lord don't know about. Man don't know about. My family don't know about. My wife don't know about. And I've got away with it. And I'll tell you, I have nothing certain to hold on to. And you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Sin guarantees nothing but judgment and death. But hell, it's uncertain, amen. He said that wrong path was dangerous. Filled with the grass. Uncertain. He said, but my path now is sure. He said, I'm a standing on a solid rock. Amen. Hallelujah. In that pit, that thing that hung over top of that pit and kept the smell and the prisoners from it getting out was the rock. But he said, I'm not under the rock. And it is judging me. I'm a standing on the rock. And the Lord condemns sinners under the judgment hand of God, under the authority of God. That us that are saved are standing safe in His hand. I'm a standing on the rock. The rock of judgment doesn't hang over my head. I will say it even so, come quickly. Lord Jesus, amen. I got my path assured. I'm not worried about the next step I take. Stepping in the muddy ground again today, I'm glad the rod won't run out. Amen. The next step is sure. I'm a standing today on the rock. And the next step I take, I'll still be on the rock. Amen. And somebody said, please, I'm here at rock bottom. I'll be sure still on the rock. Amen. I'm now my rock. My path is sure. Because of the rock. Well, he said, my path was dangerous, filled with regrets, uncertain. But now my path is sure. Each day has purpose and reason. My future is settled. My past is destroyed. My present is sure. Because I'm standing on a rock that won't run out. He said, my path is sure. He said, my path is filled with joy. Amen. That's right. You know why he has a saying of joy? He said, I have a new song of praise in my lips. He said, a new song in my mouth. He even praised the name of God. You know why he has to sing that song, Praise for that? Had the Lord just give this to me about 2 or 3 minutes ago. And I couldn't wait to get to it. Amen. You know why he has to sing that song, Praise? I told them fellas was in a pit. And this pit was full of muck and mire, sewage and garbage. The filth of the city, the refuse of the city. And on top of it, they dig this pit. And on top of it, Brother Thomas, they put a rock to keep the smell from coming out. The smell was embarrassing. The smell was embarrassing to the people of the city. Of the smell the filth of their flesh had generated. Amen. And David said, I was right down in the pit with it. Oh, but now I'm a standing on the rock. And I'm a singing a song of praise. And you know what I think? I think he might have been singing a song of praise on account of the rock was still in the mouth of the pit. Amen, that's right. He said, all the filth of my flesh, all the nakedness of my sin, that stank in the nostrils of God, the rock of the Lord Jesus has been put on top of that. And the Lord don't even know where it is. When he sees me, he can't see my sin. All he sees is the rock. Oh, my God! I said, when I thought about that, all I could do was sing praise. All I could do was rejoice. All I could do was shout. Because my sins are gone. Oh, my God! I've got a song of praise. Oh, hallelujah. He said, the rock is still in the mouth of the pit. And God, I don't even know where I used to be. Somebody said, preacher, I remember what's in that pit. Yeah, but he don't. Amen. I remember what used to be in that pit too.
Thank God. But it's just a memory now. I can't even smell it no more. The Holy Ghost is that loose. The perfume of the power of God in my life. Change me for His honor and glory. And I'm free from all of that. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Oh, there's a joy to preach under anointing of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God. I said, well, I'm not just giving you a speech of some other, but I know what it's like to be pulled out of pits and set up on a rock. I'm not going to Woo! I'm not going to establish. I'm being saved. Hallelujah. Hey, Lord. He said, my path is sure. Path is filled with joy. He said, my path has a new sway. He said, I got this new song I'm singing. It ain't about the cheating heart. Or getting drunk or running around with somebody else's wife. But he said, I'm just praising God. And said, every time I do, people sees it and they trust in the Lord. He said, the sway the world has on me is different. Their influence doesn't make me sin. I'm trusting God. And he said, the sway and the influence I have on others is different. Oh, the way I'm living ain't influencing others to sin. But I'm influencing others to get right with God. Hey, somebody said, preacher, that rock's offensive to me. I'll tell you, if you'd ever let him correct your life, put you on the right path, it wouldn't offend you anymore. The Lord is my rock. He's a rock of correction. He's a rock of offense. He's a rock of correction. I'm going to say he's a rock of construction. As a believer now, I'm walking on the correct path. And as such, I can build on what the foundation the Lord's given me. Before the mud, the murk, the mire, I had nothing I could build a life on. I had nothing I could depend on. But today, I'm a building on a rock. As a believer, I'm building safely on Him. Now, else, and He's the rock that the builders rejected. Amen. Psalm 118:22, the stones the builders refused to become the head. A stone of the corner. Amen. To be rejected is an expression borrowed from masons, brick masons, or rock masons who finding a stone, trying to put it in a particular place. If any of you have ever laid rocks, you know it's like putting a puzzle together. And that stone they found wouldn't fit in their puzzle. Maybe it was too big to put in the midst of the rest of the rocks. And it would not work in the regular walls. But he said that same stone that they rejected for the walls in that particular place, it appeared improper for it. It's been thrown aside and another taken. However, at last, it may happen that that very stone is the one you use for the corner that stabilized the building. Every time in my life I rejected God, I didn't love Him and I didn't trust Him. Well, but the same stone I've been rejected has become the cornerstone of my life and foundation. And now I can build on Him. Well, the builders rejected it, but He became the foundation and cornerstone, and we're built on Him. Isaiah 28:16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, and not just a stone, but a tried stone. I'm glad He's been tried and proven true. Amen. A precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. He that believeth the not shall make haste. Amen. Acts chapter number 4, verse 11 and 12. Peter was the preacher. He said, this is the stone. Speaking of Jesus. He said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given among heaven. Under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in Matthew 21:42, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doings, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Amen, that's right. I'm glad I've got a cornerstone I can build on. He's our foundation, and we're built on Him. See, when you build a building,
Brother Charles, the foundation is what keeps it from crumbling. The rest of the building is not so strong as what the foundation is. The foundation falls, the rest of the building will fall. The foundation is what keeps it from crumbling. Somebody said, "Preacher, these are perilous times. These are difficult days. How in the world are we going to make it in these days and times?" Oh, I'm not worried about crumbling. My foundation is sure. Amen. I'm built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the Son of God, I stand. Time for my foundation. For my foundation. Our slain Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay except that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the precious foundation, friend. For it be nothing without Him. 1 Peter 2, and I think we're referring to, said in verse 6, wherefore also it's contained in the Scripture, behold, the way in Zion, chief cornerstone, He that's precious, and he that believes on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore it's believed He's precious, that to them which be disobedient, the song which the builders disallowed, the same is the head of the corner, and that He's a true cornerstone.
Matthew 7:24, Jesus said, if any man hears my word, doeth them not, I like him to a man built his house on sand. The wind blew and the rain fell, and the floods came. House fell, great was the fall of it. He said, he that hears my word, doeth them, I liken him to a man built his house on a rock. The wind blew and the rain came, the floods came. And said, the house stood, for the foundation was sure. Somebody said, preacher, you ain't worried about the storm? Not at all. I'm built on a rock.
Amen, that's right. And the same rock that saved me can strengthen me, secure me, and sustain me until the day He rolls me in the righteousness of the saints at the next supper of the Lamb. I'm dependent on Him and nothing else.
He's a rock of a fence, of correction, of confession. I will say here, He's a rock of destruction. I'm going to say this and I'm going to quit. I want to say Daniel 2. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. You can get a song ready. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of a statue, head of gold, arms of silver, chest and belly of brass, legs and thighs of iron, feet of iron and clay, represented all in Gentile empires that had come. And he said, one to give way to another, Babylon to Greece, or Babylon to the Medes and Persians, the Medes and Persians to the Greeks to the Romans. And then the Romans, he said, would be mired with iron and clay, that eventually in the end would grow weak. And the foundation of the statue was a mixed thing. It was all mixed up. Iron and clay. Anybody knows anything about what do they call it? Metallurgy or metallurgy or whatever they call it? Study of iron and metals. Anything knows anything about that knows that iron and clay don't mix. They will not cling one to another. And the foundation of that statue that all the nations of the world and all the kingdoms of the world and all the religions of the world was built on was weak, because it is mixed up. And he said, after I saw that great big statue, he said, there's this rock come out the mountain. And said, there wasn't nobody up there cutting it out, it just come out. It wasn't hewn out by the hands of man. Said it just come out the mountain. I'm glad the Lord Jesus didn't come by the will or the authority or power of man, but that which was conceived in him, Mary, was of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he said he was cut out of the mountain, not by the hands of man, but he said he come tumbling out of the mountains. And this rock hit at the base of that statue and knocked its feet out from under. And he said the statue hit the ground and fell into pieces. Amen, that's right. I thank God, listen, and represents all the false doctrines, all the false religions of the world. And Jesus is the rock. Okay, if you ever get a hold of your life, he'll tear everything else down. Amen, and tear down all your
But he didn't just tear down. After they tore down the statue, the rock landed on the ground and started digging a hole. Amen. You never seen a rock dig, but that one did. And when it did, the rock started to grow. And it grew into a mountain. And it filled the whole world. Somebody said, preacher, what does that mean? One of these days, everything that ain't a dog's going to be gone. And God's going to claim this place for himself. And we're going to stand on his mountain. And there won't be no sin. There won't be no devil. And there won't be no flesh. It'll just all be God. And we'll worship in him. And love him. And have peace in him. It ain't no wonder David said, he's worthy to be praised. Because the Lord is my rock.
Is it yours today? Is it yours? Well, I'm so glad I know him. I'm glad he's my rock. You know him the way I know him? Down the inside, have witness of him. Built on the rock. Is he a rock of offense? Or is he a rock of correction, construction, and destruction? On a much smaller scale, Brother Brock, when he saved me, he come down into my life and knocked out all the things that wasn't him. Took the foundation of everything else I'd try to dream of and imagine out from under me. But he said, son, don't you think that all your hopes and dreams are gone? I'm going to set myself up as a much more sure foundation. And today I stand on the rock of the mountain of the Lord Jesus. And I ain't doing what I planned to do when I was a kid. I wanted to play professional baseball when I wasn't doing as a kid. And this thing of not having quite enough talent got in the way. But I'm doing right now exactly what it was that God's always wanted me to do. Amen. All my hopes and dreams, he shattered. But he gave me bigger dreams and bigger aspirations and better character and sweeter hope and more joy and more happiness and more things. Do you know him? Do you know him? The Lord is my rock. Saint of God, you in a storm, the rock will stand sure. Just hold to him. You're in a battle, hide yourself in the cleft of the rock. He'll cover you like he did Moses with his hand and fight your battles. The Lord is my rock. I preach the rest of the day on this. I want you to stand. You come do business with the Lord if you need to pray. You need help from the rock. I'm assured that he's able to help. Amen. Say what the Lord laid on your heart. You need to come to visit for God. You come. Amen.
Jesus redeemed us from sin and from shame.
Put on huge blue.
Let us praise his name. precious, thank God.